The recordings have started. You may proceed.
Thanks, Christine. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to the Standing Committee on Improvements Implementation Meeting on the 21st of April at 1800 UTC. On the call today, we do have Rudy Vancic, Sarah Bakke, Amar Alfader, Angie Graves. We have apology tentatively from Wolf Ulrich Nogan, who will be joining later into the call. And from staff, we have Glenn D. St. Jerry, Julie Hedlund, and myself, Michelle Busmeiter. I'd like to remind you all to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you, Michelle. Rudy Vancic for the transcript. Welcome to this call today, where we will have two important items to handle. And as regularly, I need to ask if there are any changes. I don't think so, as far as I can see who is on the call. I don't see any changes that happened. As mentioned, yeah, and Lottie will probably join later. And I didn't see any apologies for Anne. I remember that the last call, our previous call, Anne had a problem with the time zone. I'm just wondering if staff could eventually trigger Anne to see if she is available, if she is online, and we check if there is no problem again with the time zone, because she came at the end of the meeting due to the problem of the time zone. So let's move on with our agenda. We have, in fact, we had today the closing date for the full consensus call on the GNS operating procedures proposed revision relating to the motions and amendments. And I received a mail from Amar with a request to eventually extend the date, the deadline, to the 26th of April, in order to allow having some discussions. And perhaps, Amar, you could explain some reasoning for that. I see you have your hand up. You have the floor, Amar.
Yeah, thanks, Rita Sommer. This is actually a problem, a mix-up on my part. I had sent an email out, I think, the next day after the after Julie had circulated the initial consensus call on list to the NCUC list, but the email seems to have gotten stuck in my outbox for a while, and I was offline for a while and hadn't noticed. So I apologize. I did circulate the email to the NCUC list. I just figured it'd be nice to give them a few days to comment on any of the work the SCI had done before declaring consensus on the constituency's part. I don't normally hear back much on the work of the SCI. I think folks are generally happy with what the committee produces. But I just figured I'd ask for a few extra days if there's any reason why this cannot be done or shouldn't be done. It's not that big a deal, I think. But thanks for considering anyway.
Thank you, Amar, Rudy, for the transcript. I think it wouldn't be bad so that the 26th is just next week, Tuesday, if I'm not wrong. That doesn't change too much. We are not extending it for another week, so it's not that big question to me. Yes, Amar, I see you have your hand up. You have the floor.
Yeah, thanks, Rita Sommer, again. Before the FCI agrees to this, I was wondering, because I didn't calculate the time required for the public comment period on the changes the FCI is recommending, and taking that into account in terms of submission of a motion to the GNSO Council in time for the 10-day deadline before a council meeting. So if this does delay the process in any way, I'd like to know, because I may reconsider asking for the extension. But yeah, I haven't thought that through. And to answer Julie's question in the chat, I think what I asked on list four was until the 25th, which is Monday. So if deadline could be extended till April 25th, that would be great, assuming it doesn't cause any delays with a motion being submitted to the council when time comes. Thank you.
Thank you, Amr, really for the transcript. Yeah, sorry, I was wrong. It was the 25th that you were proposing. I'm just mixing up with the 26th, as there was a discussion in the RPM when to have the next call. Julie, you have your hand up. You have the floor.
Thank you. Thank you, Rudy. This is Julie Hedlund for the record. So I'll just raise something for the SCI to consider. Obviously, we have the call for consensus now on these particular revisions to the GNSA operating procedures. If indeed we agree, and it seems like we are coming close to agreement, that there would be also changes relating to the chair, vice chair elections, it might be a cleaner and more efficient process if we were able to do one public comment period, and I think we have done this before, where we've put all of the agreed upon changes out there. So in this case, it would be both, for the current consensus call relating to motions and amendments, and then also the changes that staff, of course, would need to draft and the SCI would need to approve. Assuming that was the case, then both could go out for public comment, and then both could go to the council for a motion. So that's just something for the SCI to consider as far as timing. I don't think there is a rush on either of these particular items, to which I'm aware anyway.
Thank you, Julie, really for the transcript. I think it is indeed a good idea of separating the two issues and having separate public comment periods so that we can handle what comes in a decent way. I do not expect a lot of comments on the first issue, the changes of the procedures, but probably there will be quite some comments coming from for the chair-vice-chair elections that will probably have more impact. But if we want to respect the deadlines for having the public comment period being before, 10 days before the next council, the council meeting, do we still fit into that timing? I don't have the calendar in front of me. Julie, can you help me out here?
Yes, this is Julie Hedlund for the record. So I think, and Mary can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the usual amount of time, minimum amount of time for the public comment period is, I should just know this off the top of my head.
30 days?
I think it's generally it's been 30 days. Mary says 40. I mean, so, you know, there's not going to be any way in any case that anything would be ready for the next, as Amr is noting in the chat room, for the next council meeting. And Amr's question suggesting one public comment period for both issues. I would suggest one comment period for both issues so that there is just one markup of the operating procedures, and then one version that's created with all of the changes, and that version goes up to the council with all the changes for consideration. That would be more expedient. So even if it takes a little bit more time for us to draft the language for chair, vice chair elections, we would save time by having one public comment period instead of two.
Thank you, Julie. Yeah, indeed, it's as Mary was mentioning, 40 days. That means that it would end up in the Helsinki meeting, where it could be discussed on the council, and that perhaps not a bad idea to have some discussions face-to-face in Helsinki, especially on the chair and vice-chair elections process. That is probably taking a bit more volume. So can we agree that we extend the full consensus call till Monday 25th, so that we can close it on Monday? Oh, Monday. I presume it's 23:59, the period when we consider that it closes. And then we have enough time in front of us to work on the second issue and wait for public comment till we have the second issue taken care of, which is the chair, vice chair elections. I don't see any objection, so.
Hello, it's Wolfowicz.
Hi, Wolf. Ulrich, how are you?
Hi. Yes, I just joined the call and I heard your last words. Well, I agree. Thank you.
Okay, fine. I'm happy that you just joined the call, as we will move on the agenda, being the discussions of the sub-team B on the text and discussions about the chair and vice chair elections. You probably have been in that discussion too. I don't see Anne, actually, she was chairing that team, but I presume that I can count on anyone else that is in that group to some status on where we are in that discussion. Wolf Ulrich, are you able to take?
Sorry. So, I didn't catch it. I'm just on the car here on the phone. So, I'm not on Adobe connected. But you wanted to. What was the question? I'm sorry. So I didn't catch that.
Well, yeah. If you're in a car, it's probably not the best way to. To handle this. I don't know who else was on this sub-team and has been in the, I think there was a call before this SEI call of the sub-team B discussing the changes and the text of the issue. Anybody who was on that call could comment?
Is M not available?
No, she is not yet on the call, and I know that last time, a last call, there was an issue of the time zone. She thought it was an hour later, and I know that Michelle has been triggering her to see if she is online and can join the call. But otherwise, I have in front of me, if I'm correct, the text of the previous version. I could eventually go through the text that is presented in the Adobe Connect. Thanks, Julie and Mary, for bringing that up. If we go to...
Yes,
Wolf, do you want to talk about
Yes, Woody, if I may, just briefly, Wolf is speaking. So just to update, I remember, you know, you couldn't participate last time as well. So we decided, well, to lift the item to the SCI and not anymore have meetings with the SCIB, the subgroup meeting. So we will handle all the remaining issues on the SCI level. That was the first thing. And then the status is from that is described in all the action items and the text, which Julie distributed to the list, and where I have commented today to some of these items. So if you could go through those items, I think there were three or four scenarios we had in mind with regards to what could happen in case of a chair election. So I put also my comment in. If somebody could take it, or you could just walk through that, there were some action items which were asked by Julie, some specific items, questions to be answered to these several scenarios. And I did it in writing, and I do hope some others may have comments to that. So far from my side. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Rob Ulrich, for the information and the guidance. Well, yes, I will walk through the text that is in front of us. The first action item that needed confirmation is affirm that the deadline of 14 calendar days is the preferred option to scenarios 2, 3, and 4. And I can read there that it has been affirmed, so it's the deadline of 14 days is preferred option. We have the...
Yeah, it's Vavori speaking, if I may. Though affirmed, that was by myself. That's my comment, so in blue. You know, the question is what is with regard to the other participating stakeholder groups and constituencies. So affirmation was done within our constituency. So to that point, I don't know what other comments are to this. But it seemed to me from the last discussion we had that is more or less in the heads of the participants well to accept the 14-day period. Thank you.
Thank you, Wolf Ulrich. So indeed, what is in blue are the reactions that you have been giving. And I didn't see any others so far. I didn't see on the mail any others commenting on it. I don't know if there is anyone willing to comment on the first action item. Confirm that the deadline of 14 days, calendar days, is preferred option for the three scenarios, 2, 3, and 4. If I don't see any objections, we could take that as confirmed by the group. Okay, thank you, Amr, for putting the green flag. Then the second action item is review the proposed new language for scenario 3, replace the text which may include the voting NCAs with from within its respective house. So the text change is which may include the voting non-com appointees with the text from within its respective house. I see that the reaction from Wolf Ulrich is okay. I would like to suggest a similar edit to scenario 2, option 2. The House with a vacant vice chair position shall designate an interim vice chair from within this House to join. That's the proposal that Wolf Ulrich made here. And another suggestion for scenario 4. Is if both houses should fail to temporarily fill the role of vice chair on an interim basis, the non-voting NCA, unless being a chair candidate, will be designated. Sorry. That are the comments that Bob Ulrich has brought to this action item 2. Is there anybody having any remarks, changes, suggestions on what is proposed? Yes, Amr, you have your hand up. You have the floor.
Thanks, Rudy. This is Amr. Yeah, I just wanted to voice my agreement with all of Wolf Ulrich's suggestions here. In terms of the second scenario, I think it's a good thing to always have consistent language, especially when it clears up any ambiguities. On scenario three, I also very much agree, and thank you, Wolf Ulrich, for actually sending this around, because I think I misunderstood what the IPCC was recommending here until you you commented on it. But yeah, I agree with Wolf Ulrich completely, and I don't see any reason why at this point in scenario three, where there are continuing vice chairs, that a house should have to go through a process to replace him or her. I thought that the whole point of this was to try to streamline things and make this process less messy and less difficult, because this has already resulted because of a failure to elect a council chair. So I think the quickest, easiest solution here would be to continue with the sitting or the vice chair who is ending his or her term, and then keeping that person on as an interim vice chair throughout scenario three, and hopefully not require moving ahead to scenario four. Thank you.
Thank you, Amr. And I'm noting in the chat quite interesting question from Sarah. Question regarding the election process that's out of the box from what we've been discussing. Is there a reason why we couldn't do away with houses and have simple majority of all votes for any councillors put forward for chair? She seems to be curious about that text, but I think it's not that easy. It's just replaced by having a simple majority of all votes. Do we need a simple majority vote, or is it with a two-thirds majority for the elections of the chair? I'm just wondering. I didn't check the text about that one. I see Mary Wong is responding that it would require changes to the current procedures. Yeah. And the current procedures state that the GNSO chair shall be elected by a 60% vote of each house, which is quite high already. So a simple majority wouldn't work. And it's not in the scope of the current request from the council. So going back to our action items, I didn't hear any objections to the changes that were proposed by Wolf Ulrich and by IPC on action item two. I think we can consider that text is okay for the next version of the document. I'm trying to follow the discussions also in the chat. We just also state that each house will be allowed to nominate one candidate for GNSL Council Chair. Each house is responsible for determining how to nominate its candidate. A candidate for GNSL Council Chair does not need to be a member of a house, but must be a member of the GNSL Council. Should the chair be elected from outside of the houses, that chair will be non-voting chair, which is similar to the NCA candidate that is also a non-voting member. I just have one question about the fact: if the chair becomes a non-voting member, is there still balance in the number of votes? Perhaps a stupid question, but it's just something that triggers me as we are going through the text here. Do we still have balance for voting in the council if the chair is a non-voting member? perhaps that's more important for staff.
Uri, if I may, so who is speaking?
Yes, go ahead.
Yes, well, this doesn't alter any proportion of the voting scheme in the council, because you know the non-voting NCA he remains as non-voting as he was elected as a non-voting one. Maybe he's appointed the council chair or not. It doesn't matter. So for council voting, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much, really for the transcript, by the way. So when we look into our action item list now, we have action item 3. Consider the issue raised by IPC that even where a vice chair is continuing in his or her term, relevant house should have the ability to appoint a different interim vice chair that is otherwise eligible. And the response to that one is, at the moment, I can't see a reason to replace a vice chair just for the purpose of conducting the election. If a house has no confidence in the vice chair it already took in place, then this issue had to be solved before. In addition, valuable time would be saved by keeping the incumbent vice chairs. Seems to me, indeed, a normal process forward in order to not block any process. But I would like to hear from others what they think about. So the question, if a house has no confidence in the vice chair, it already took in place, then this issue had to be solved before. That means that it has to be solved before the elections process started at that level. Yes, well, Amar is asking if IPC could comment on this, as it is their suggestion. I don't know, Wolf Ulrich, can you eventually give some views on this? If you remember, they have been discussing this, yes or no? Don't hear Wolf Ulrich. I don't know if he's still online. Maybe we lost him. Yes, Amar, you have your hand up. You have the floor.
Yeah, thanks, Reeves. Amar. Like I said before, I completely agree with Wolf Ulrich on this, and perhaps for more reasons than the ones he put in blue. But we should try to be making this whole process easier. But in principle, I think before we wrap this point up, we do need to hear from Anne or Laurie on this, because it was their suggestion, and I don't think we should sort of wrap this up until we hear from them, and perhaps they hear some of the feedback that we've given. I haven't seen them comment on Wolf Ulrich's email either. So I guess we should probably table this until we can hear from any one of them on this. Thank you.
Thank you, Amar, really, for the transcript. Yeah, I see that Anne is tied up in another call. And in fact, they are quite important in helping us going through this this discussion, as they are key in what they have been bringing forward. I don't know if and Laurie cannot. No, I think that Laurie is on travel. I think she is in France somewhere, and I know from Klaus that they had some difficulties to connect the calls yesterday. With that said, I'm just wondering, can we go through? Let me see. We have the three action items where we need to have clarification from IPC. Maybe we can go through the scenarios and see if we need to have some changes inside the text that is proposed. I presume that you all have had the chance to go through the text changes that were done, and they were done at our last call, if I'm not wrong. Looking into scenario one, there is no, I don't see any redlined text, so I presume that that text is stable enough and doesn't need any further discussion. In scenario two, we have, in fact, two options in it. Option one is the remaining vice chair shall oversee the chair election and conduct council business until such time as a new chair is elected. Or the second option, the House with a vacant vice chair position shall designate an interim vice chair to join the continuing vice chair to oversee the chair election and conduct council business. The deadline for the vacant House to designate its interim vice chair is 10 calendar days following this council meeting, at which no chair was conclusively elected. And then there is an other or 14 days following the council meeting at which no chair was conclusively elected, or 1 week prior to the next scheduled GNSO council meeting. So there are three options in timing. I see, Julie, you have your hand up. You have the floor.
Thank you, Rudy. This is Julie Headland. I'll just note that to a certain extent we sort of have addressed these in that Wolf Ulrich had sent some comments that we started with. The first was that it seemed that there was agreement for all of the scenarios 2, 3, and 4, that is, that the deadline would be 14 calendar days. I mean, I know that Wolf Ulrich affirmed that. I think it seemed to be agreement on this call that 14 days was the preferred option. So we could then for 2, 3, and 4 assume that 14 days is the option. With respect to scenario 2, Wolf Ulrich had an option 2 in particular, had suggested the language is there, is the House with a vacant vice chair position shall designate an interim chair. If you scroll back up, the new text in blue that Wolf Ulrich had suggested was from within this House would proceed to join. So I think, so after interim vice chair from within this House to join the continuing vice chair to oversee the chair election and conduct council business. And then the deadline for the vacant House to designate its interim vice chair is 14 calendar days following the council meeting at which no chair was conclusively elected. So I think it appears that we are settling on option 2. Then we have the consideration of the text that Wolf Ulrich has suggested for that option 2.
Thank you, Julie, for the help in going through the text here. But in fact, for scenario 2, we could conclude that we have a text that stands for, based on the proposal of Wolf Ulrich. So there is, from within this House, is the wording that needs to be added to the option 2 and the selection of the 14 days following the council meeting at which no chair was conclusively elected is going to be the text we will use in scenario 2. Looking into scenario 3, we will have the same definition for the deadline, 14 days. I don't see any further changes in the text so far, not based on that we got in scenario 4. Let's go to scenario 4. Yes, also there, the 14 days, 100 days following the council meeting would be selected. Yes, Amar, I see you have your hand up. You have the floor.
Thanks, Riya. Amar. There was something else that Wolf Ulrich put in his email that I don't recall if we addressed it or not, and I thought it was an interesting little detail. I would be interested. I'm not sure if Wolf Ulrich is still on the call with us or not, but the thing is, he suggested that in scenario four, that the non-voting NOMCOM appointee cannot be cannot serve as an interim chair in the event that, you know, we get to scenario four, if the NOMCOM appointee himself or herself was actually a candidate for the chair in the failed election. That's the understanding that I got from what Wolf Ulrich was suggesting here. But then that leaves us with a scenario where there is no interim chair or interim vice chairs. And I'm just thinking this is a bit of a pickle. We need to figure out whether we're going to actually move ahead with this or suggest an alternative or possibly pull a scenario five out of our hat somehow. I just wanted to bring attention to that. Thank you.
Yes. Well, really speaking, that was okay. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Wolf Ulrich. I see that Anne was able to join us now. Julie, I see you still have your hand up. Is that an old hand or a new hand? Okay, thank you. So in scenario four, let me see first the text here. If both houses should fail to temporarily fill the role of vice chair on an interim basis, the non-voting NCA will be designated interim chair to oversee the election and conduct council business until such time as a chair is conclusively elected. If I'm correct, there would be that would not be possible if the non-voting would be a candidate in him or herself. So we need to probably make a change if that's the case. Is that correct, Wolf Ulrich?
Yes, Woody, it's Wolf Ulrich speaking. The general position, you know, I think we discussed that earlier, that nobody who is on the list as being a candidate for the chair could serve as an interim vice chair or an interim chair. So that was excluded in general, and that's what I would wanted to point out here. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Wolf Ulrich, really for the transcript. So we will need to have some changes in the text that it makes clear that candidate non-voting NCA cannot be the interim chair. As the text is now, it's not really clear that it could not be. And I see Carol is 14 calendar days, the usual time frame for such activities. The suggestion to increase the time frame from 10 to 14 calendar days allows for a generous period of time for the parties to decide upon an interim chair. Amar, what I'm just wondering is the text, the suggestion in scenario four. It is not mentioned in the text that the non-voting NCA, as it would be eventually a candidate chair, cannot take that position. To me, the text is not really clear in specifying as such. That's the reason why I'm just wondering if we need to change that text. Yes, Amar, you have the floor.
Yeah, thanks, Reed, Amar. My understanding is that if by the time we get to scenario four, that this is the option we're left with, is the non-voting NCA to act as an interim chair to oversee the elections, as well as conduct council business if needed. So that's the essence of scenario four. But then here we're up against another very valid point that Wolf Ulrich raised. If the non-comma point, the non-voting non-comma point G was the candidate who failed to be elected, or is planning on being a candidate perhaps for the second election round, then that may be problematic. My instinct is to make an exception for the non-voting NCA in this situation, just because I think it is extremely unlikely that the council will find itself at any point dealing with scenario four. Hopefully, we will not have failed elections in the future, and hopefully if we do, we'll manage to get through a second round before having to utilize scenario four. But if in the event, the extremely unlikely event that we do have to deal with scenario four and have a non-voting NCA be appointed as an interim chair, and that the same non-voting NCA was or is going to be a candidate for the chair elections, I think we may want to consider making an exception to the rule that Wolf Ulrich mentioned that we had agreed on. Just consider it at least for now. Thanks.
Okay, Woody, who is speaking?
Yes, Wolf Ulrich.
Okay, but I fully agree to Amr. So this is really, scenario four is the most unlikely scenario. And before, it happens that both houses would not be in a position now to designate a vice chair. At first, this one which I added, the halfway, that means it could happen then before that just one house is not in a position now to designate a vice chair. And for this case, it's also the question what to do then. Shall we just carry on with one vice chair, which is designated from the other house, or what to do? In the other case, scenario four takes place in a full range, it means both houses cannot designate a vice chair, then I would also see no problem now in what Amar was saying now to make an exception here, because that is so unlikely and that's the very last resort. Thank you.
Thanks, Wolf Ulrich. Yes, indeed. It would bring us to a scenario five at the end. If we want to cover everything, we would be pushed into a scenario five, which we probably need to avoid to get too far away from the original process itself. And indeed, if the sensitivity in selecting an interim chair is so high, I think that we probably have a lot of other issues before ending up in that stage. I was just thinking about the scenario. If in scenario three we don't have that case popping up, designated interim vice chair will co-chair the chair election. That's still the case. Conduct council business until such time as the chair is conclusively elected. Once the election is completed, their service in those rules would end. Candidates for chair will not be eligible to serve as designated interim vice chair to avoid potential conflicts of interest. Well, there it's, the text is quite clear. The candidate for chair will not be eligible to serve as a designated interim vice chair to avoid potential conflict of interest. That covers the case. I don't know if there are anybody having any remarks with regards to the proposed scenarios so far. Otherwise, I think that based on the input except for the action item 3, where we need input from IPC. We have some clarification of the text that is proposed here. And maybe, Anne, I don't know if you are able to answer the question of what is proposed in action item 3. At the moment, I can't see a reason to replace a VC just for the purpose of conducting the election. If the House has no confidence in a vice chair, it already took in place, then the issue had to be solved before. In addition, valuable time could be saved by keeping the incumbent VCs. I don't know, Anne, if you have any clarification or explanation for the action item 3?
I'm sorry, Rudy. I had to come in the call very late. And when you say action item 3, let me just get focused again on exactly what that change was. Was it in relation to appointing...
It was the issue raised by IPC that even where a vice chair is continuing in his or her term, the relevant House should have the ability to appoint a different interim vice chair that is otherwise eligible.
Yeah, that's just simply a comment that I got from leadership saying that I think there's, you know, a lot of discussion underway in the non-contracted parties House at this time about kind of a rotation system for vice chair appointees, that the logic behind it was the possibility that one of the houses that would be sort of next up for, or one of the constituencies that would be next up for having a vice chair appointed could go ahead and put that interim vice chair in if it was assumed that later that they might want to be appointing that interim vice chair permanently. There's some discussion going on about rotation of vice chairs among the constituencies in the non-contracted parties House, and that was the logic behind it.
Okay, thank you, Anne. I don't know, because it was essentially Amr that would... like to have some explanation on this issue. Amr, I see you have your hand up. You have the floor.
Thanks, Rudy, and thanks, Anne. this is Amr. I appreciate the dynamics between rotating vice chairs, at least within the non-contracted parties House. I'm not sure how the contracted parties folks do it. But again, these are extreme circumstances, and we're trying to develop a process that streamlines it. And here we're just talking about an interim vice chair who will serve for possibly a number of weeks. So I just thought it would be counterproductive to what we're trying to do to suggest that one or two of the houses will be required to go through some sort of selection process when we're trying to avoid those, and we're moving down scenarios because repetitively these selection processes are failing. These processes, they're failing. I will note that the council chair elections that took place at the last annual general meeting, we did have a vice chair from the non-contracted parties who did continue as an interim vice chair and then was replaced. And indeed, we had the same from the contracted parties. The vice chair from the contracted parties at that time continued as an interim vice chair and then also was replaced after the elections were finalized. So it seems to have sort of worked itself out. Last time we did it, I think it's the easiest and most streamlined solution. I would suggest that we not complicate it at this point. Thank you.
Thank you, Amr. And indeed, I think it's the less conflicting situation. If it's just for an interim period, it's not that complicated, and it's probably not getting into bigger discussions. Anne, I see you have your hand up. You have the floor.
Sure. Thanks. This is Ann for the transcript. Yes, Amar, I can volunteer to take that question back to the IPC for reconsideration. I think it arose basically from discussions that were occurring in LA in an intersessional meeting of non-contracted parties house. And I don't know, Amar, if you have had opportunity to check with your own constituents there with respect to this particular issue. I know you said that they're not very interested, but it was my understanding it arose in discussion as a result of some things that happened out in LA in the intersessional. But I will absolutely take it back to IPC and point out that it's been commented that it could be, you know, an unnecessary complication. And I'll get back to you guys on that. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan, Rudy, for the transcript. Well, with that, we have clarification on that point, which brings us to the fact that the proposed text for issue 2 needs still some clarification from IPC. Otherwise, so far, I would say that the text that is in front of us with the modifications based on what was proposed by Rolf Ulrich, essentially the 14 calendar days in all the scenarios, 2, 3, and 4, could be identified. And thus, I think the text as is in front of us could go for a last review so that the next call we could consider finalizing that text. Then if we can close that, we could go for a consensus call later on also for that one, which would help us getting the two together. I see, Julie, you have your hand up. You have the floor.
Thank you, Rudy. This is Julie Hedlund for the transcript. I'll just note, staff will go ahead and send around the agreed upon text from this meeting and also take note of the actions that Anne and Amar will go back to their groups concerning the clarification question. I will note that there is a further step that then would have to happen after this, that is that staff will have to draft the language for the operating procedures. It will be similar to this language, but you know, with the appropriate section changes and additions and so on, and that's what would then be considered in a consensus call, as we did this last time.
Thank you, Julie, for the clarification. And indeed, it will probably take a bit of time to get this drafted in the final document. I'm just wondering if there is any other discussion that is needed on what is in front of us on issue 2. If it's none, yes, Amar, well, Julie is proposing that she will, together, staff will work on finalizing the text and the action items list. And then further on, we'll draft the text that is needed for the final procedures. Yes, as she is mentioning in the chat. So if we don't have any other discussion on issue 2, we can probably have a look into any other business that we need to take care of, which is probably when should we have our next call of the SCI meeting. As Amar and Anne need to go back to their groups, and we have no urgency for the next council meeting. What would be the preferred timing for our next call? I think 2 weeks That's what Julie was typing. Is that okay for everybody if we schedule our next meeting in 2 weeks? Maybe for Anne, is there a time conflict for you? Is it better if we could eventually change the time?
No, I think that's not. This morning I had a client call that. Well, those pesky clients, you know. Let's see here. Let me take a quick look at what had. See, we're talking about the 5th of May. Is that correct? Yes. I look clear at that time on the 5th of May. I don't know about others, but I look clear then. So I apologize for this morning. But they do pay my salary, so.
Well, I know about that also, and it's sometimes very difficult. I had 3 calls today, and I had to shuffle a meeting with a client, and I really had to say, sorry, I can't. It will be tomorrow. But that's fine. That's why we are volunteers.
Yeah, well, I'm normally able to work around it, but not in this particular call this morning. So I thank you for your indulgence.
No problem.
Sorry.
You're welcome. So next call will be the 5th of May at 18 UTC. And we will have the chance to have probably some exchanges on the mailing list with some input from the other communities. I see, Amber, you have your hand up.
I'm sorry. I think that's just an old hand. Sorry.
Amber who was raising his hand. Because she's traveling.
Rudy. This is Amber. And, yeah, I was just going to say that I may be traveling between the 3rd and the 6th of May. And so if I am, I will most likely not be able to join the next call for the schedule on May 5th. So my apologies in advance if I can't make it.
No problem, Amber. But I suppose that you will have the reactions from the NCAC group before that date.
Yeah, hopefully I should certainly have reactions from them on the question that Anne and I were asked to take back to our constituencies. Certainly. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. So with that, I think we can call this meeting to close. Thank you all for your participation. Thanks for those being on a mobile connection, like Wolf Ulrich. And we see each other on the 5th of May at the same time.
Thanks, Rudy. Thanks, everyone. Bye-bye.